You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In Concert with me, Leo Green. We'll be hearing the biggest stars in the history of music doing what they did, and in some cases still do best, which of course is performing live in concert. We'll hear how the artists and their songs travelled from the studio to the stage, enjoying some of the greatest live performances of all time. Over a short period of just 7 years, a small club in Hamburg hosted some of the most significant artists of the 20th century, run by an ex-German fighter pilot who, incredibly so soon after the war, managed to secure financial help from the US Army, would you believe, in the form of sponsored flights to bring in the big American acts to Hamburg in return for those stars then appearing at the American-European army bases. Anyway, the club had every major artist during their seven-year existence before, in 1969, it closed its doors, giving way to the new musical tastes of the 70s, or, as I've heard some rock and roll club proprietors refer to the 70s, the winter of our discotheque. Anyway, before the doors closed, one of my ex-employers recorded a blistering live album at the club that captured the essence of what it was like to attend one of his gigs. And the so-called critics, who of course never knew what it was actually like to be on stage in these venues playing with these kind of acts, often hail this particular Live at the Star Club album as almost capturing lightning in a bottle. But I can tell you from personal experience of having played sax with this guy for 2 years that, well, every time he took to the stage, there was a feeling of, will he turn up? If so, which version of him would turn up? Will he start a fight with someone or one of us? What are we going to play? Will the audience end up throwing bottles or roses at the end of the performance? I witnessed pretty much all those scenarios during my time with him. Anyway, here he is, cocky, chaotic, swaggering and defining his own genre. And just when you think the song is going to take off, after just 1 minute and 44 seconds of giving the audience the hit they all wanted to hear, well, he just brings the whole song to quite an abrupt end. And by using a very old performer's trick, he captures the listeners at home's attention by creating the feeling that he's addressing us all individually from his very opening words.
Ladies and gentlemen, you shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. You better love that a man saying. You broke my wind, a quarter three. Just reach, ball to fire. I love you like a lover should. You're fine, so kind. I'm gonna tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I shoot my head, beat on my thigh. I'm real never that you show it far. Come on, baby, have on the grave. Goodness, break, should break all the bars.
One of my first musical bosses, Jerry Lee Lewis. You're listening to In Concert on LGRadio.online with me, Leo Green. And this is where you can enjoy the greatest artists in their natural element on stage, performing live, feeding off the energy of a live audience. After I'd spent 2 years with Jerry Lee Lewis, I started working for another band leader. And the fact he also features in this episode is a bit of a fluke. It just so happens that in the 70s, he recorded an immense live album. So, to set the scene, this double album, unlike the other recordings we've heard in this episode, reflects shows recorded in multiple venues across three different towns in America and the UK. And just to remind us of the esteem this singer was, and of course still is held in, A few months after the London show at the Rainbow Theatre, the performance was relayed in full on Radio 2, whilst at the same time it was shown on BBC TV. This had been the very first time this artist had appeared in London as a solo artist, so expectations were high, and as you're going to hear shortly, he did not disappoint. I found touring and recording with this artist very similar musically to my time spent with Jerry Lee Lewis, but more on that another time. For now, let's enjoy the majestic Van Morrison, recorded at London's Rainbow Theatre on July the 24th, 1973. person who, although lauded as one of the greatest songwriters, and quite rightly so, never seems to get the same credit for his performing skills, which I think is very unfair, because he really is one of the greatest in-concert artists in living memory. Right, you lot, we're off to Oakland, California now to enjoy something from January of 1974. As we heard in a previous episode, James Brown's record label got it spectacularly wrong, thinking that a live show was a stupid idea for an album. And now here's more proof that the supposed music industry gospel that live albums don't work is a load of nonsense. Marvin Gaye wasn't particularly known for his live shows because he suffered a bit from stage fright. He'd loved touring with Tammy Terrell, but after she'd passed away in 1970, he hardly ever took to the stage. Which is why this recording from January of 1974 is so precious. And listening to this, it's crazy to think that when he first heard this song, Marvin's brother-in-law, Berry Gordy, refused to release it, claiming it to be too jazzy. This recording of that song is from Oakland, and just imagine what it must have been like sitting in that auditorium, one of 14,000 lucky people who witnessed this.
Mother, there's too many of you to cry. There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, Father, we don't need to
could that be? The magnificent Marvin Gaye with the title track from his most successful album. Paul Simon says he felt a little disappointed by the la-li-la-li lines in this one because they were only supposed to be holding lyrics, but he never managed to come up with anything. So this one is a textbook example of how different a song's existence can be once it's travelled from the studio to the stage, because originally, Simon and Garfunkel had spent 100 hours recording this one song with sessions in both New York and Nashville. And yet, when we hear it performed live in one take, so to speak, in front of 500,000 people one sunny evening of September in 1981, it sounds magnificent.
I am just a poor boy, but my story is seldom told. I've squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jests, till the man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. When I left my home and my family, I was no more than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, running scared, laying low, seeking out the poor quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. From the whores on 7th Avenue, I do declare there were times when I was so lonesome I took some comfort there. Ooh, la 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 la. Now the years are rolling by me, they are rocking evenly. I'm older than I once was, and younger than I'll be, that's not unusual. Though it isn't strange, after changes upon changes, we are more or less the same. After changes, we are more or less the same. La la la. Clearing stands a boxer and a fighter by his trade, and he carries the reminders of every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame. I am leaving, but the fighter still remains. Yes, he still remains.
A million music fans captivated by a couple of guys backed by two or three musicians. No fireworks, no dance routines, and it still sounds perfect. And Simon and Garfunkel bring this edition of In Concert here on LG Radio with me, Leo Green, to a close. Thank you very much for listening, and don't forget to check the website out for details of all our shows, lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.